All right, let's go to the Hodges Glass, Little Rock Glass Hotline to Roger and bring in our buddy who we have been enjoying following all over social media. Oh, my gosh. That's been so much fun to watch him do some of the old school classics.
We saw him do. You sent me three things: Possum, George, and then he sang
Randy Travis.
With Randy Travis.
Right with Randy Travis.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah. Bring him in, Rog.
Well, where'd he go? It's not firing.
It's not firing.
I'm sorry. It's just not.
Wow, what is going on?
We've got a glitch.
What is happening?
We've got a glitch.
Well, I'll go ahead and thank right off the bat. Let's thank Powers Truck. What? Well, now I'm turning. Whatever you did, turn me back up again. Whatever you did. There you go. We do want to thank Powers Truck Parts and Service in North Little Rock. They sponsor both Trey and Joe. If you have any kind of truck problems, they're the ones you go to.
Have a good guy. Artist to come from the state of Arkansas. He's got 5 number one hits, 2 Grammy Awards, and 4 nominations. He's brought to you by Powers Truck Parts and Service in North Little Rock. From headlight to taillight and everything in sight, they provide dependable repairs and massive inventory on heavy-duty parts ready to roll. Visit PowersTruckParts.com today. Now, here's the Natural State's very own Joe Nichols.
Yeah! Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you all?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for jumping on with us each Wednesday. Yeah, I tell you, we were really bragging on, we follow a lot of entertainers. Of course, Justin Moore does a show with us, and his social media is not quite as aggressive or, I guess, is sharing at some of the non-concert stuff, which you share your concert stuff. But I'll tell you, some of the best part, I think, Roger, you'd agree, is watching you in your bus, watching you somewhere where you're at the Grand Ole Arc with George Jones. You're somewhere doing a tribute to Randy Travis. But it's really good stuff, and it really shows your range and how talented you are.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. We got a good couple of people that know how to find the clips that people enjoy rather than the ones that people not enjoy. So yeah. I'm glad we're able to do that, man. Some of those things, take me back. To it feels like another lifetime ago, you know, like singing with George Jones at the Opry, you know, that was a special, special night.
Sure was, man.
Anytime doing anything with Jones was awesome. We went on a little tour with him after that. And
it's George Jones.
Him and Merle.
Dude. Well, you love Merle. I mean, I'm sorry to step all over you, but just watching what you do, the things that Baz sent me last night, one was Merle. One was Possum, and then Randy Travis was right there beside you as you sang on that one right there. So, pointed out that you were nervous, but you do that. I don't know how many albums Justin has. I think we talked about Justin. I thought we'd have him on today, but he didn't get started till late this morning, if you will, other than last night. I want to say he's had like 2 or 3 greatest hits albums. How many albums have you got out? And the reason I asked that, Joe, is how many songs do you cover from the old school guys when you're on your concert? So how many albums have you put out?
I think this next one will be my 12th or 13th.
Wow.
I think.
All right.
Yeah. And I have one greatest hits album from maybe like 2011, I think.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I go back and forth. But I don't know how you count the Christmas album I did. That would be 13, I think.
Sure, you can.
Sure, you count it. Sure, you count it.
Dang
straight, you do.
Yeah.
Well, because we'll play it. Well, and so to that point, then you've got enough of your own material to do a 90-minute concert. And I guess that's how long your concert is.
He could do five 90-minute concerts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, however long your concerts last, if they're 2 hours, I don't know. For anybody.
Well,
if
they turn me loose on a night-to-night basis, if I'm playing somewhere that it's just up to me however long I want to go, I can go 3 hours. I usually do go 2:45 to 3 hours.
Oh, that's it. That's a normal?
That's a long concert, buddy. That's
if there's no curfew and if the venue is if it's just a night with me only. No curfew, no restriction and everything. Yeah, 2:45 easily.
Well, you know, Justin has told us he's done that a few times where he's gone long. Yeah. I will say this is that, man, you've got such a great voice. You know, Justin Moore's got an amazing voice, too. I tell you, between you two guys, you super talented voice. I'm just talking about the quality of your voice, and it's just unique. And, well, we're very fortunate and blessed to have both of you guys, of course, Justin on a daily basis, 3 days of the week, and you once a week. So thanks so much for agreeing to do this. Let's talk a little football. Had Houston Nutt on the show today. First time he'd been back on the hill, Joe, since 2007. That was the last practice he had had.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, he'd been back. He was inducted in the Arkansas Hall of Honor, so he attended a game, but this was his first practice, Razorback practice. You know, no other coach had invited him back. And, you know, I guess maybe they felt, you know, maybe the fans would not be receptive to it. I get it because he was at Ole Miss. But I think what happened, I think Ryan Silverfield felt, hey, there's been enough times passed. Be good to get Houston back. I had lunch with him. You know, I'm picking his brain. And I think it's good. You know, if people don't like Houston up for a certain reason, I understand some of the controversy. But he also won us a lot of great games and brought us some great players on the hill.
He sure did, man. I tell you what, he had some of those teams back then. I know it was a different era, pre-NIL and pre, you know, kind of the era right after that was the rich getting richer. You know, the Alabama, the LSU, the whole state kind of separated from the pack a little bit. But, man, he would sneak up there and beat a number one ranked LSU at the end of the year every now and then, recruited some all-time greats, McFadden and Pillis and Jones, you know, in just a couple of years there. Man, so many great memories with him. He had the 98 team that I think was a championship-level team.
You bet.
You had a little better luck, I think, and not the letdown against Mississippi State. But Matt, I tell you what, one of the best coaches that I've ever been around. Such a nice guy, such a friendly guy, very welcoming onto the sideline. You know, it was a very cool. He welcomed anybody to the sideline to kind of, you know, make it fun. And you know, when Petrino got there, it was a little bit different story. You know, it was a little more tight, a little more businesslike. You know, but nothing wrong with that either. But I always loved Houston. I got his number, you know, way back in the day, and I'd text him every now and then when he'd do a CBS show, and we'd text back and forth. And such a good guy. I'm glad to see him back at Brown. You know, I wonder what his take on how we look, you know, like how we're going to compete.
He
what
told
we
us.
Look like.
Yeah, he said he was very, he did. Like I said, that's one of the reasons we got him on. We wanted to say, well, what did you think? Of course, you know, they're in, you know, shorts and helmets, so you can't tell a lot. But he said he thought, that, you know, they had improved in depth. You know, the size was better than you know, some parts, not all. You know, there's, you know, we're undersized at linebacker and defensive end and some of our DBs. And so we're not giant compared to some of the SEC. But he likes the way this coaching staff is. And it's the same thing I said, Joe, when I went and watched him last week. You know, you got a head coach who's running around coaching every position. I mean, talking details. And, again, nothing against – Coach Pittman or anybody else, but this coach is, you know, he's coached every position, so he's coached the defensive line. He's talking technique with a linebacker. I just think it looks good to do that. He's got a lot of energy. He's younger, and he's preaching, you know, all the things, effort, no penalties, you know, no turnovers. And they're working hard. They're running hard, and, you know, we talked about it. So that's what he said. He thought he was encouraged by the coaching staff, and he said that, you know, I think he was sort of talking about that 98 team. You know, that 98 team was terrible the year before. They were 4-7. They were terrible. And, you know, you take the same players and push the right buttons, you know, how much of a difference you can make. So he was encouraged. He didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to win 5 or 6 games. He just said, hey, I like what I see, and I like Coach Silverfield.
Yeah, I love to hear that. You know, what can you do more than that?
Yeah.
We didn't flip the roster into a giant blue chip filled roster, and I can go into detail about what I think, how I feel about that. But we got what we got for this year. And I'll tell you, if coach can improve us to 5 wins or 6 wins, then dude, that's an enormous, enormous success for him.
Yes,
I mean, I think it's pretty unlikely because our schedule is brutal and we don't have to play any team like us really.
but
I think if we get into some fourth quarter battles with some teams that we're not supposed to be battling with and we happen to win a game or two, then the outlook is good. And maybe the money starts flowing a little better with NIL. You know, maybe we start making a little noise and tickets get great. You know, I don't know. I'm hopeful. Part of my I don't know what you'd call it. Part of my illness is, you know, I'm a Razorback fan that's always hopeful in spite of all the results.
Yes. No. You're almost, do you don't want to let yourself get too excited. But I do think you've here, by the way. I know. That's okay. I do want to thank Powers Truck Parts and its service in North Little Rock. Thanks to Chad and Stephanie Powers for sponsoring both Joe Nichols and Trey Reed today. But yeah, I think it's okay to try to be positive. And even though you know it's going to be tough, the road is going to be tough, that the you know the competition is going to be tough, that if you listen to some of the players, and I know Justin does, I don't know if you try to get online and all the YouTube and Hawks Plus and all that, you're hearing some of the players say, and Roger, I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it or not, but you know they feel this. I mean, they're saying, hey, without trying to slam on the previous program, it's a different feel. And I think where one of the things is not just the head coach. You know, there's a different energy because he's younger than, you know, Silverfield is than Sam. But I think the assistants, I think they got a better group of assistants this year, and they've got more numbers. Yeah. And so I think they're getting coached better. I think they're getting pushed hard. And I'm telling you, they're not being buddy-buddy. I went and watched them, and, you know, not that you have to coach with F-bombs, but I'm telling you, they are getting after these guys. I don't care who the – there's no star players that's getting star treatment. And that's what they need. These guys need to be pushed.
Good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, anyway, yeah, it's just nice to see maybe that, okay, we're going to – you know, it's funny, too. I was going to ask. I didn't go to the press conference the other day. I was going to ask, Coach, do you always preach ball security like you're doing this year? And I think I heard – the answer was no, that this is they've never done it to this degree, and he's doing it on purpose. He knows this is one of the areas he can show everybody, hey, I'm going the extra mile to try to correct what got you beat last year, and that is fumbles. And so, but I was just trying to think, you know, hey, all these drills, is this what you did at Memphis? And I think the answer is no. They certainly preach ball control, but, I mean, they're going over the top. I mean, they're just, you know, and that's one of the things they can sell. They go, we're going to correct that at least. We may not have the most talent, but we're going to get that corrected, and penalties too.
Well, you know, it's weird to think about if we had a better turnover ratio last year, that record looks flip-flop. We look 8-4 or something like that. You know, if we just took care of the ball and didn't lose those freaking heartbreaking last-minute fumble type of game, you know, the Memphis game is a great example. You know, going into the end zone to pretty much steal that game, and we fumbled and lost that one. The Ole Miss game, we lost on a game-winning touchdown drive. I think we would have won.
Yeah, yeah.
So many of those. I think if we just corrected that area and maybe some stupid penalties, then our record is different. Last year, way different.
You're right. You're right, Joe. There's no question about it. I mean, you hear something crazy? You talk about that game. I've sort of forgotten about that. That if we beat Ole Miss, you know, Ole Miss was one quarter away from a national championship,
or maybe two games.
Right. Who did they lose? They also who did they lose to before Miami? Miami beat them. So Miami beat them to go to the national championship game against Indiana. So Ole Miss was one game away, I think, from playing the national championship. That's a team we had beat. If they just don't fumble, you're probably going to beat that team. So you wonder, wow.
What game of the year was that?
That was like the third. Okay. You know, like third we'd, game, been, yeah. We'd have been 3-0, and then you know, then we go to Memphis.
Who knows?
I know you don't know, but you just wow. That team we had them beat, and they were good enough to play for almost a national championship anyway. But you know what? You didn't get it done. You failed when you had to, and that's all that really counts in the win-loss column. You know.
That's right. Well, you know, and also, I don't know how y'all saw this, but, you know, the heartbreaking early losses in just dramatic and dumb fashion.
Yeah.
The body language we came out with against Notre Dame.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be ugly. Yeah.
Horrible. And they laid down in the first quarter. It looked like nobody was even trying in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, and they stomped on our throat when they saw how little we were trying to tackle. There was some guy, I won't call him out on the radio here, but there was some guys last year that had clear opportunities to make a tackle and just pulled up and looked like they were like, nah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the money. Yeah. And man, I saw that in person and man, my heart just sank. I think maybe it's because of the heartbreaking losses. They kind of became, you know, like whatever, you know, I don't care. Well, that's a terrible locker room, but it's that. I think we were better than that Notre gang name showed.
Yeah.
They did throttle us, but it looked like we were ready for that throttling from the first snap.
I
saw some guys, some big name guys, that really let me down a lot, and they hurt themselves long term by doing that. I think there's some guys that probably could have had better career opportunities had they not had that kind of attitude and that kind of year. But
and I think
that. I know there's probably a lot of fans out there that know exactly who and what I'm talking about.
There a lot of them do. I think there are two things happen. I think our new coach had pointed that out with this team, as you're talking about, with because of the fumbles last year. So the ball security is something he's working on, and mentioning loafing a lot in some of his speeches here this year. He's saying no loafing. I think that's a reflection of what he saw. Yeah. And also, that's also something that Coach Petrino saw, because when he took over, he said, look, you guys, we've got to pull together. And if you still want to be a part of this team, great. We want you, yada, yada, yada. But if you don't, you've got to let everything, you want to leave, you better start showing everything you've got, because no one's going to want you if they see you the rest of the year loafing and not giving it your all. So,
well, you were right, Joe, that you could see it on film. I think there was a game against Mississippi State where you just the last 5 yards or last 10 yards were just poor tackling, poor effort, and it just didn't look good. So
I've heard guys use the term they made a business decision. You know, I think it was a poor business decision, because guys that probably could have got, like you said, like Petrino said, you know, you could have got a look by some big programs or maybe NFL spots had you not made that business decision.
Yeah, well, again, I think that's why, you know, if you listen to, and Ron Roberts, you know, he's a defensive coordinator. He's been around, man. That guy's been around forever. He's about our age, Roger, and he's coached a lot of programs. He's coached at Auburn. He's coached at Florida. So he's been around a big-time talent. He said he really likes this. He likes his team. He likes the football IQ. He likes the togetherness. Again, that won't always win against 8 5-star guys like Georgia has, you know, on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
But it does, if you look at the Houston Nutt model and others. And back when I played, Joe, you know, of course, we had great NFL talent when I played, too. But, you know, it makes a difference when you do those things and you hustle hard and effort. If you remember, Roger, I said this last year, Joe. I got into it with a local really successful coach here, because I was looking at one play during 2 days. And it was an outside play that the Arkansas running back. What was the guy that was so good last year? He's playing for Washington, Michael Washington Jr. So he goes outside and he finds a crease and gets through there through the hole, and there's nobody around. And so I was sort of going back and forth with this coach. He said, "Well, they can correct that with a guy just going over one gap." And I said, "No, that's not what concerns me." Remember, Roger, I said, there's nobody else over there. Where's the rest of the defense in pursuit? I said, the guy breaks through the line, there's nobody over there. And we saw that against Memphis, where he breaks through the line and there's nobody there. And so I'm telling you, that is an effort thing. I know I had great coaches that if you're on the backside of a play, you run your blank to the darn game. You come up with your angle and you get over there. I know you know you can just take it easy if you want to, but he expects 11 people running to the ball, and we didn't have that last year, and it showed, and that's why we were one of the worst defenses in America. And that's a want to, Joe. That's a want to.
Exactly.
That's a want to. How bad do you want it? How good a shape are you in? That's another thing too. This group said they feel like they're in better shape. So I don't know, you know, what the offseason guy did.
That would make a big difference.
Yeah, that can certainly help as well. So, you know, we'll just
I love that.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, no, I'm sorry to cut you off.
You're good.
I was the Houston Nutt is the guy. Very deaf.
Dadgummit. He's saying something really good right now.
He's
talking. He's going to realize
against Alabama and those guys, LSU and you know, watching Alabama highlights from like I don't know 2004 or something like that. Matt Jones beat Alabama, and we were severely lopsided. You know, under their talent,
right?
But Houston Nutt got his guys to fight.
Yeah,
and if we have that last year, and along with turnovers and everything else, we also have a different outcome. But if we can have that this year, we had a coach that gets fight out of our guys, then, like I said before, if you find yourself in some four-quarter battles, then if your mindset is different than last year and the year before that, maybe we can sneak up and beat some people.
No, I think that's right, Joe. I think, again, as you mentioned, it's tougher against the elite talent because they're gonna be well-coached too. But again, maybe maybe you hang around with them, but you know, you're doing the things, and then all of a sudden you find a game, maybe South Carolina, Vandy, or whatever, that maybe the talent level's closer, and you can sneak up and beat those guys. Who knows? Like I said, you know, you're tough. It's right off the bat. You got a tough game at Utah at 9:15 on a Saturday night. A tough environment to play West Coast, and then you got a stacked Georgia. Then you got a stacked Georgia team that could win the national championship coming into And we've played those guys before in Arkansas, and it's not gone well. But anyway, just tough to see. I hate that they have such two tough games right off the bat. And then listen, you know, I heard the guys on the show after us, Joe, North Alabama. We've just sort of according to Justin Akre, Roger, that North Alabama should be an easy win because they were not a great program. Now they used to be a great Division II program, but. That better not be
our North Texas.
That's right. That better not be a close game. We should handle that before we get to Utah and Georgia. Sure, so, sure. Joe, great stuff as always,
nothing
buddy.
Nothing is a gimme.
I know. No, you're right. You're right.
Not with the Hogs.
We should not say we should take every game seriously and play hard.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Well, great stuff, man. Enjoy chopping it up. We'll go to break with C'est La Vie. Have you a great rest of the week.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Likewise, man. Appreciate y'all. Go Hogs.
Go Hogs.